Teacher, I'm not unaware that this chapter will be a real spiritual challenge as you teach each one in your group to understand the biblical principles and then spend time helping them apply God's plan for us in the area of financial responsibility, dealing with earning, saving, spending, and giving money. In Jesus' teaching, he talked more about money than he did about heaven. He knew of the tremendous need that we would have for financial responsibility. The last few years, I've counseled with at least 8 families who were each one anywhere from $4,000 to $18,000 in debt, not counting their homes. Their payments, plus the bare necessities of life, amounted to more than their income. Their marriages were threatened. They were suffering from sleeplessness and worry. They were facing possible bankruptcy and loss of jobs. Their witness for Jesus and testimony for him was being destroyed. And they were suffering from a guilty conscience. Acts 24:16 gives us a valuable example to follow. And herein do I exercise myself always to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. There are basically 3 roots of a bad conscience, as pointed out in 1 John 2:15-16. They are the lust of the flesh, that is, the desire to indulge. Usually this is the god of sex, which leads to moral bondage, immoral thoughts and acts, and eventually to broken fellowship with God and others, and a broken life. The lust of the eyes, this is the desire to possess. The god of money or temporal value rules. This leads to being obsessed with possessions and things. The pride of life, that's the desire to impress. This is the god of self-rights and expectations taking its wrongful place. Bondage here is to the ego, which leads to bitterness and self-seeking and misery. In the area of financial bondage, all 3 of these may be operational. The lust of the flesh shows where a man is spending his money on other women, drink, sports, self-indulgence. The lust of the eyes is displayed where the family is buying more than they need. They are allowing their wants to run away with them. The pride of life shows up in trying to impress others and keep up with the Joneses. But mainly the lust of the eyes, the desire for things, is where the problems lie in financial bondage. In the marriage relationship, there are really no money problems, only people problems. People problems may make themselves known in money matters, but they spring from immaturity, temporal values, or simply selfishness. To reduce your study time, here are some gathered facts about money. What is it? Whose is it? God's plan for it, and some biblical teachings on it. What is money? It is a medium of exchange, neither good nor bad. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Whose is it? Haggai 2:8 answers that. God says, "The silver and the gold are mine." So does Deuteronomy 8:18, where it says, "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth." Well, what is God's plan for money? First, it's to provide for our needs. Philippians 4:19. It's to show his power to bless, Malachi 3:10, and to train us. Deuteronomy 14:23 in the Living Bible says, "The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives." God has also chosen a plan whereby our money can bless others. Romans 12:13 expresses, "Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality." Also, our Heavenly Father's plan is for financial freedom for his children. What is financial freedom? It is not the right to do what we want with our money, but the power to do what we should. Evidences of financial bondage are indebtedness, that's an unwillingness to live within the means available, constant pressure of bills, obsession with business, desire to get rich quick or prove one's business ability, concern for temporal things and keeping up with the Joneses, and the inability to learn from past mistakes, which could be pride. On the other hand, what are evidences of financial freedom? Demonstrations of freedom are seen in no past due bills, no undue vulnerability financially, proper priorities between business and family, ministry and recreational responsibilities, having a margin, being concerned for God's work and workers, and a willingness to learn from past mistakes. Finally, here are 4 ideas gathered from the Scripture as to its teaching on money. First, it can be a blessing if handled properly and acquired properly. Proverbs 10:22 tells us, "The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." Second, it can be harmful. It can cause a man to do any of these several things. He may forget God. Deuteronomy 8:11 teaches us, beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God. He may stop trusting God. If I have put my trust in money, if my happiness depends on wealth, it would mean that I denied the God of heaven, is the content of Job 31, 24, and 28 out of the Living. And it may deceive a man, according to Mark 4:19, in the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. A man may fall in love with it, as we noted from 1 Timothy 6:10 already. Money may encourage a man to rest on an unstable foundation. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5 in the Living Bible says, don't worry yourself trying to get rich. Why waste your time? For riches can disappear as though they had the wings of a bird. Pride and a lack of gratitude can harm a man in money matters. Jeremiah 12, 2 in the Living says, you plant them, they take root and their business grows, their profits multiply and they are rich. They say, thank God, but in their hearts they give no credit to you. He will believe double-mindedness is an option, but God says you cannot serve God and mammon. Another harm to man comes in robbing God. Malachi 3:8 questions, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? God replies, in tithes and offerings. Third, money does not bring happiness. Ecclesiastes 5, 10, and 11 in the Living Bible instructs us, he who loves money shall never have enough. The foolishness of thinking that wealth brings happiness. The more you have, the more you spend, right up to the limits of your income. So what is the advantage of wealth, except perhaps to watch it as it runs through your fingers? The only advantage of money is the use to which it can be put. 1 Timothy 6, 18, and 19 in the Living brings this out. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others what God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity, and they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here. All in all, your dollars will go further when accompanied by sense. God's sense, that is.